Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2482, with the release date of Friday, May 23rd, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A report shows that solar storms leave the U.S. unprepared. Another electronic supply business closes its doors. And a reminder that our Young Ham of the Year nomination deadline draws near. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2482 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week with word that a U.S. task force, by its own admission, is ill-prepared to cope with the wide-ranging impact of a solar storm. This news comes on the anniversary of the Gannon storm, the most powerful geomagnetic storm to hit the Earth in two decades. Here's Randy Sly, W4XJ.
A U.S. government task force established 11 years ago to handle space weather emergencies has demonstrated that it is incapable of successfully managing such a crisis, according to a recent report task force members released earlier this month. Several critical failures came to light at the conclusion of a two-day drill conducted in early May to assess U.S. agencies' readiness in such a crisis. The drill staged a simulated crisis of several CMEs hurtling toward Earth, creating widespread power and communications outages, radio blackouts, and radiation hazards for NASA astronauts on a lunar mission. This was the first exercise of its kind for the task force, which is known by the acronym SWARM, which stands for Space Weather Operations Research and Mitigation. Member agencies include the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. According to the report, government agency protocols were shown to be weak and without effective interoffice coordination. Those challenges were called especially critical because warning for the impact of an incoming coronal mass ejection can be as long as a few days or as short as half an hour. The report praised the exercise for identifying these issues and called for, among other things, development of an advanced warning system and sophisticated space weather satellite systems. A link to the report is in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
When you're first starting out in amateur radio, you can't borrow confidence in getting on the air. But now in the UK, you can borrow something that's almost just as helpful. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about a new program created especially to help hams under the age of 18 who are just starting their radio journeys.
The DMR project, launched recently by the Radio Society of Great Britain, is a way to provide opportunity and radio equipment for young new amateurs to become accustomed to making QSOs on a regular basis. The outreach team's new DMR kit contains DMR handheld transceivers and hotspots to borrow for up to 3 months at no cost. Accompanying the equipment, of course, is the opportunity to use it, and the RSGB's team will also be hosting regular scheduled youth nets to give as many participants as possible a good start. Licensed hams or school groups with at least one licensee are eligible to apply for use of the kit. Meanwhile, the Society is encouraging teachers to establish school clubs and to become amateurs themselves. Funding from the Radio Communications Foundation will cover the cost of up to 9 teachers' exams. Additional details are available at rsgb.org.uk. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Pieces of an antenna once atop New York City's Empire State Building have found new homes, and the auction held for them has done a lot of good, as we hear from Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
You might say that this was one high-profile antenna that got some great reception. The remaining 16 elements of the Empire State Building's 32-element Alford antenna attracted lively and profitable bidding at a charity benefit auction in April. According to a report on the Radio World website, a total of $7,549 was raised for the Society of Broadcast Engineers in a scholarship fund. This antenna was installed on the Manhattan skyscraper in 1965. It was decommissioned in 2019. At one time, it served as many as 16 FM broadcast stations. The individual elements weigh about 100 pounds, or 45 kilograms each. But thanks to this successful auction, they will carry even more weight in helping support the careers of future broadcast engineers. I'm Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
A free online course is teaching students why weather satellites remain an important resource to preserve our quality of life. Sal Imby, KB3TZD, tells us about those lessons.
Even as the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is halting support for a number of its weather satellites, the importance of these collectors of data and imagery from space remains key to understanding our changing climate. Students in grades 8 through 12 here in the U.S. are getting an opportunity to learn more about these satellites and their contributions to the study of long-term climate behavior through a free online series offered by the AMSAT Youth Initiative. The coursework is designed to let students progress through the material independently. The first installment is called An Introduction to Satellite Meteorology and will be followed by the next release in June. Future topics include wildlife and natural resources, navigation, climate change, and pollution control. Visit buzzsat.com, that is BUZZSAT.com, to see more details about the course. This is Sal Imby, KB3TZD.
Another business that was a reliable supplier of electronics for ham radio operators has closed its doors. We have those details from Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Since it was founded in Florida in January of 1972, Marlon P. Jones and Associates gained a loyal following among amateur radio operators looking for everything from power supplies to electronic switches and other components. The family-owned business closed its doors on the 9th of May and announced on its website that it would no longer be taking phone calls after the 23rd of the month. Its remaining inventory was purchased by another company in Florida, Skycraft Surplus. Positive reviews of the company's customer service and the quality of its products reflect the satisfaction that hams and other purchasers of electronic components received after doing business repeatedly with the company, which has also known as MPJ and Associates. The company's website gave no reason for the closure. A statement simply said, quote, "It has been an honor to have done business with you," end quote. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Just as the American explorers Meriwether Lewis and William Clark tied the landscape of the early North American West together via their travels in the early 19th century, more than 30 ham radio clubs in 16 states are carving out a trail of communications along that same route. Radio operators are calling CQ from May 31st through to June 15th in the Dakotas, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, and other states that were eventually established within the explored territory. The special event, Lewis and Clark Trail on the Air, has expanded since its launch in 2022 with the Clark County Amateur Radio Club in Vancouver, Washington State. Now it encourages chasers to try for contacts of one club in each of the 16 states or one of two bonus stations who are representing the Jefferson Indian Peace Medal. The explorers handed these medals out to the chiefs of tribes they encountered during their expedition. For information about certificates or participating clubs, visit the website lctota.org for details. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB0YLE repeater on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. through All-Star in Morrisville, Pennsylvania and Fall River, Massachusetts. Luxembourg's Postal Service is joining the celebration of the IARU's 100th birthday, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
100 years ago, Radio Amateur de Luxembourg was amongst the organizations representing radio amateurs from 23 nations at the founding of the International Amateur Radio Union in Paris. Celebrating the centenary and showing pride in Luxembourg's role, the Post Philately of Luxembourg has issued a postage stamp and a matching postal card marking the anniversary. The stamp will be released in the weeks ahead and will be available for purchase at the Radio Amateur du Luxembourg booth at Ham Radio Friedrichshafen in June. Until then, pre-orders can be sent via email to the address that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
A devastating flood in the late 19th century left its mark on western Pennsylvania. Amateur radio operators are on the air as a reminder of this painful history of the Johnstown flood. Here's Travis Lisk, N3ILS, with details.
In a community 60 miles east of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the disaster has come to be known as the Great Flood of 1889. What began on May 31st of that year ultimately claimed more than 2,200 lives in the western part of the state. The deadliest dam burst in U.S. history followed several days of heavy rainfall, as more than 20 million tons of water rushed uncontrollably into the heavily populated valley. Johnstown, in Cambria County, had the misfortune to be just 14 miles downstream from the dam. It had 30,000 residents, many of whom were crushed by the sudden, unexpected rush of floodwaters. This is history that is personal to many in the region, and amateur radio operators are no exception. They will be on the air starting on Saturday, the 24th of May, through to the 6th of June, operating from the Johnstown, Pennsylvania Flood Museum, calling CQ. They are using the call sign N3N and will be on HF and 2 meters. The special event is taking place in cooperation with the Cambria County, Pennsylvania Emergency Services and Skywarn Storm Spotters of Western Pennsylvania. Emergency responders know well, tragic flooding revisited the region again in 1936 and 1977, but neither of those floods compared to this one, which is considered the kind of storm that happens once every 1,000 years. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
If you have delayed nominating a candidate for the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award, don't wait any longer. The deadline for nominations is the 31st of May. If you know a promising young amateur who is 18 years of age or younger here in the continental United States, let us know. If they have talent, promise, and a commitment to the spirit of ham radio, they might just be this year's winner. Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. In the world of DX, Dave, G4WXJ, will be on the air as ZC4RH from the British Sovereign Area on Cyprus, IOTA number AS004, from the 14th through to the 20th of June. Dave will be using CWSSB, FT8, and FT4 on 40 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Amir, OE1EMS, is using the call sign E77DX from Sal Vicente Island, IOTA number AF086 in Cape Verde. He'll be participating in the CQ Worldwide WPX CW contest on the 24th and the 25th of May. See QRZ.com for QSL details. A team of operators using the call sign VU7T can be heard from Lakshadweep Islands, IOTA number AS011 in the Arabian Sea. They'll remain active through to the 28th of May on the HF bands. They'll be using the QO100 satellite, QSL via M0XUU. JS6RRR, JI3DST/6, JJ5RBH/6, JR8YLY/6, are on the air from the Miyako Islands, IOTA number AS079, until the 18th of June using CW, SSB, and digital modes on 80 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Have you got a second? Well, it only takes a second, actually a few minutes, for our final story, which introduces an important new atomic clock that's been put to work at the official U.S. headquarters of timekeeping in Colorado. Here's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Keep your eye on the clock, especially if you've been recording your QSOs like the rest of us in Coordinated Universal Time. A new atomic clock at the National Institute of Standards and Technology has been operating since April at NIST's Boulder, Colorado offices. It will soon have a bigger job as part of the group of timekeepers around the world that assist with calibrations of UTC. Known as NIST F4, the clock is still awaiting certification by the International Bureau of Weights and Measures before it can happen. Until then, its unprecedented precision is already hard at work defining the official time here in the United States. Its creators call it a fountain of precision because the cloud of cesium atoms inside the clock oscillate at a rate of more than 9 billion times per second, rising and falling in the same way water does in a fountain. Its resonant frequency is 9,192,631,770 hertz, to be precise. That is the frequency that sets the standard for all other clocks. If you want to see just how NIST F4 works, see the link in a YouTube video in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Watching it will only take 3 minutes and 3 seconds of your time, more or less. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website, arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT, Dale Scott, W7HLO, David Behar, K7DB, DX News, DX World, Eddie Misiewicz, KB3YRU, EHAM.net, History.com, IARU, Live Science, QRZ.com, MPJ and Associates, NASA, National Institute of Standards and Technology, Popular Science, Post Philately, Radio World, Radio Amateurs du Luxembourg, ShortwaveRadio.de, Washington Post, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.